The sixth case on the call is Rosales versus Holder, appeal number 09-1644. We have Mr. Crawford.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please the court and counsel? My name is William Michael Sharma Crawford. I'm here on behalf of Gregorio Gorilla Rosales. This is a difficult case, or at least these cases are difficult for the immigration court, in that they're cancellation of removal cases wherein we have to prove presence in the United States, good moral character, and the all-encompassing sticky ground of exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. This court, or the circuit, has found that it has no ability to review the discretionary grant or non-grant of cancellation of removal. So we bring this case in the sense that the board's decision appears to be lacking a review of the proceedings below. In the language of the decision, it appears that the board perhaps cursorily reviewed the IJ's decision, briefs of counsel, and issued a decision that just didn't seem to make sense at all. The piece that doesn't make sense is that they asked that the matter be remanded so that the respondent could be qualified for voluntary departure. Well, that begs the question, did they mean that he was unqualified below, because it says that he wasn't qualified for the relief of voluntary departure and we remand it for that relief, so either he wasn't eligible for it below and to remand it for a relief that he wasn't eligible for would be patently ridiculous. The other piece that you could use qualified for was that they hadn't gone through the elements of voluntary departure below. They hadn't qualified him to see if he was eligible for that. The problem was that that's exactly what occurred in the record. And so that begs the question, did the board review the record? And when you look at the decision and the reason that they denied the case, they chastised the IJ for making assumptions, that he assumed that the child could suffer diabetes, and that he assumed that psychological hardship would occur, and their decision was that, well, there was no psychological evidence presented, but yet that was one of the assumptions of the IJ that they chastised. So the decision itself doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't follow a normal analysis for cancellation of removal cases. There are three decisions that the board has held out as precedent in cancellation of removal cases: matter of Monreal, matter of Andazola, matter of Racines. They didn't do any of the analysis based off of those cases. And we outlined briefly in the brief what some of that analysis would be, the hardship, the economic ability to care for it, and it's simply not in this decision. So the purpose in bringing this was to beg the question, did the board even make an analysis based on the facts of the case, or did they quickly review the brief, the decision, write out a decision, and send it on down the road? And it's our opinion that glaring lack of following their precedent, looking at the case at all, is a due process violation that this court can review. Now, we're not saying that the court we're not asking that the court invade the province and say there is exceptional, extremely unusual hardship or that the facts rise to this. What we're asking is that this court remand it for the review that it's due, to merit it to those Andazola, Racines, and Monreal qualifiers, to inquire what the conditions are in Mexico for a daughter with papillomas in her throat and the surgeries required to it. We would postulate that the IJ was wrong and the board was wrong in saying, well, the child is going to remain there, when there's board precedent, matter of IGE, that says that in the suspension of deportation context, that you don't begin to make the analysis that the child or the subject of the hardship would remain in the United States absent an affidavit to that fact and documentation that there's going to be reasonable provisions will be made for care of the people that are going to be left behind. So again, no analysis of their prior precedent occurred. It's our position that this matter should be remanded because even though it's remanded back for this inquiry into voluntary departure, the board's case in In Re MD, 24 INN Decisions 138-2007, allows only the review of the cancellation claim insofar as a motion to reopen, in that it's evident we have new evidence that was previously unavailable. If the board has seized on the psychological hardship of the child between the loss of the father, well, that evidence would have been available at trial, and we've been unable to bring it forth at a new, this remanded proceeding. We're asking that this court remand it to the board either for a thorough analysis or let the board remand it back down to the IJ for a rehearing on this case. The issues that I've raised find support in this court recently in Gitimi. It's an asylum claim. The docket is 08-3197-09. It just came down. And in that, it stated that the board was not being consistent here in the matter of Gitimi in choosing elements of prior precedent. And we would argue that that occurred in this matter, that the board seized on the psychological...
It's not a discretionary decision whether to grant asylum or not.
No, it is not, Your Honor. There is a discretionary component to asylum. The issue here is that it's not... We're not asking about the discretionary grant. The grant itself is discretionary, but the conduct of the board is not. It's our point to say that the conduct of the board here is what failed, and that we would ask that it be reviewed on that matter. We're asking that the board be held to its task. This finds support in the Second Circuit, as we pointed out, in their decision there. We're not asking that this circuit go as far as the Second did. The Second came to the conclusion that had that matter been brought to their attention, they would have found that they had the ability to look at exceptional, extremely unusual hardship, which this court has not done. That's Mendez v. Holder out of the Second that came down in May of 09 of this year. Our position is that that this case follows what this court held matter of Hunt, or excuse me, that Hanan did not out of the Seventh Circuit, Hanan v. Mukasey from 2008. A wholesale failure to consider evidence. The court there held that had not occurred in Hanan. We think that we've reached that point here in this case. If there are no further questions, I'd hold the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Conway.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Kevin Carman. I represent the Attorney General in this matter. An alien removal proceedings bears the burden of establishing that he or she is eligible for the relief requested or the privilege or benefit that they are seeking, and also that they are should be granted that relief or privilege in the exercise of discretion. In this case, the board, what I should say is, in this case, Mr. Garolo bore the burden of proving that his removal would result in exceptional, extreme, unusual hardships to a qualifying relative. Ordinarily, there are four prongs that a petitioner would need to satisfy, but in this case, three of those prongs were conceded by the government at the immigration court level. The board found, following the immigration court on appeal by the DHS, that Mr. Grohler failed to demonstrate the exceptional, extreme, unusual hardship prong of this. In order to succeed on a petition for review in this vein, he must show, Mr. Grohl, that is, must show that the evidence not only, I mean, the evidence compels a finding that is contrary to the one reached by the board. Now, the board decision, notwithstanding counsel's argument, went through all of the elements of this offense went through the board's decision, the IJ's decision, and pointed out numerous instances where it disagreed with what the immigration judge had found. So clearly the board took the time to look at this decision. There was a lapse of over a year from the time that the reply brief was submitted by counsel and the board made its decision. There was a dissent in this by a board member in this decision, so that it's clear that the board took the time to review the factual circumstances of this case. Now, that being said,
why did the Department of Homeland Security appeal a decision like this? This is an unusual case, because most of the time in these immigration cases, we have a lawyer for the petitioner arguing that, oh, the board just rubber stamped what the immigration judge did. Here you have an immigration judge who listens to all the evidence, looks at this fellow, finds that he's been here since 1992, good moral character, never had a problem, he's got four children, one with some serious medical problems, he's the sole support, and the IJ grants him cancellation removal. So why does the Department of Homeland Security feel compelled to appeal a decision like that to the board? I mean, with all the... We had an immigration case earlier today, the first one, that had been going on for 12 years. There's a lot to do. But I just don't know why they'd appeal a decision like this.
Well, I can't speak for the Department of Homeland Security, but I will say that in this particular instance, and perhaps this is why the Department of Homeland Security did what it did, it reviewed the evidence that was presented, and it found that it was lacking, that Mr. Girola did not meet the prongs, the statutory elements of cancellation of removal. He is here illegally in the United States. I understand that this is not perhaps the most compelling case to remove somebody, but he's...
It isn't to me. It's not very compelling at all. But, you know, in baseball, you can't argue balls and strikes. So, I mean, sometimes you get a bad call, but you just move on and go to the next case. So, I don't know why the department would appeal in a case like this.
I can't answer for the Department of Homeland Security why they would have appealed this case, but the fact of the matter is that they did appeal the case.
Yeah.
The Board of Immigration Appeals reviewed the case, reviewed it in its entirety because they commented on the immigration judge's findings. They took their time in doing so, and the petitioner had a full and fair hearing at the lower court level, at the immigration court level.
Yeah, and he won there.
Exactly, which is an unusual argument being made by the petitioner in that the reason that he was not qualified for voluntary departure at the time is because he didn't have to depart. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that the only reason that he wasn't qualified for voluntary departure, it's true that they went through the process of finding out if he, in fact, was going to be removed, whether he would assent to being voluntarily depart. But because he won at that level, he didn't have to be qualified to depart. So I don't understand that there's any – I don't see why there is any confusion at that level as to why he was not qualified or why the board remanded it. They're giving him – there's no requirement that the board allow or even provide the privilege to the petitioner to voluntarily depart. That was something that the court allowed or the board allowed the petitioner to do in this case.
Just so my brother is not the lone voice saying that, that was the first thing I thought when I read this file, too. Why go after this guy? You know, with the backlog, with all the other issues. I mean, it's so rare that the IJ finds in favor of someone like this gentleman. It just, and I suppose you don't have any input as the person writing the brief that about the decision.
The decision was already made at that point, and it was made some time ago by the time that it gets to my level. And I didn't realize my time is up, but I would like to just to reiterate that I didn't get to the jurisdictional argument, but I agree that with petitioner's counsel that this court has in the past reviewed such same cases and is barred by statute from reviewing the discretionary denial of cancellation removal. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Crawford.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case was reviewed by the IJ. The court's correct, and the IJ granted. After hearing the evidence and seeing Mr. Groland and listening to him, the IJ granted this decision. Contrary, and at least from my perspective, contrary to counsel's statements, the board didn't review this. The board seizes upon the IJ's assumption of diabetes and the psychological harm to the child. They don't examine country conditions. They don't examine the family ties. They don't examine the sole support. And the common thread through Andazola, Racines, and Monreal is that ability of the departing alien to support their family. Those are the turning points in those three cases. The courts raised time, both in the first hearing and in this one, of these cases. In my experience doing these cases, a board appeal takes about a year. You file your notice, you get your hearing note, you get your briefing schedule, you file your brief, the government responds, it takes about a year for that brief to finish, and that's pretty much standard. The board could have granted voluntary departure. If they'd read the record, they would see that he's qualified for post-hearing voluntary departure and could have granted it instead of remanding it back to the IJ to continue this proceeding even further. But they didn't do it. The decision doesn't make any sense. And we believe it doesn't make sense because the board didn't conduct a thorough analysis. And we would ask that the court find that and remand it back to the board.
Okay. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement, and we will move.